Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Selina Zitov, the Washington Examiner and the Wall Street Journal, profiling Pennsylvania, which is no longer a secret place to watch the election of 2024. When I first started talking to Selina many years ago, we had Pennsylvania to ourselves. No more. Europeans have arrived. Selina, nothing is more amazing to me that not only have the Europeans discovered Pennsylvania, they've discovered Erie County. That they're tearing your columns and pinning them on the walls in the editorial board.
Well, you know, I mean, I've lived here all my life. I have 65 years plus experience of being a Pennsylvanian and observing Pennsylvania. So it's and kind of a compliment that people look at your work and think, well, this is important to at least pay attention to.
Yes, pay attention to. We go to what Western Pennsylvania and Eastern Pennsylvania. Selina and I divide them up because I was born in Montgomery County East, a color county. And Selina knows Allegheny County, that's Pittsburgh, and Beaver and Butler and Erie. And Selina, my measure of the eastern part of the state, anecdotally, because I have brothers and family, you understand, is that this is a very different profile than 2016 and 2020 right now. That the electorate is asking more sophisticated questions and is conducting itself in an unpredictable fashion. This is for the color counties, Delaware, Chester, Bucks, Montgomery. Do you measure the same thing in the western part of the state? Unusual activity?
I think what we are seeing is that low propensity voters. What do I mean by that? These are voters that are like Halley's Comet. They come out every 100 years and they're motivated to come out. They are more favorable to Donald Trump at this point than they are to Vice President Harris. They may be the ones that flipped this election. They certainly were the ones, you know, I wrote about it in my book with Brad Todd, The Great Revolt Inside the Populist Coalition Reshaping American Politics. We called them Peroistas, named after Ross Perot. These people are motivated by life experience. They tend to not trust politicians in on both sides of the aisle, and that's what makes Donald Trump a little more appealing to them. They're not exactly traditional conservatives, but because he is literally the bull in the china shop, they find him to be more appealing than a more traditional candidate like Harris.
In the eastern part of the state, the themes are consistent with national themes having to do with take-home pay, the inflation, the price of oil, confidence and security overseas. But the color counties are dominated by either progressive voters or people who admire progressive voters. That makes it a very different part of the state than the western side. Can you generalize about what the western part, west of Harrisburg, what the major themes are there?
Well, I would actually argue when it's west of Philadelphia, you get into Bucks County and you may see Donald Trump win that county for the first time in the three times that he has been on the ballot. Bucks County has gone from a majority Democrat county to now a healthy majority Republican county. So I think what you see in the city centers like Philadelphia and the color counties that surround it in the suburbs are a more progressive lean. But what you see anything west of, you know, Bucks included, you see a more populist, more conservative. These people's lives, whether they're in agriculture, if they're in a C-suite, or if in they are in manufacturing, have been profoundly impacted by the economy. And that is the number one driving issue in this election.
I turned to your column most recently about the campaign. The game playing about the word garbage these last days has been highly entertaining, especially seeing former President Trump riding in the passenger seat of what appears to be a sanitation truck marked up with Trump Vance. Wonderful. And the sober-mindedness of Vice President Harris wasn't anywhere close to being as inspiring. The puzzle here is not the conduct of the campaigns. There's game playing. But the decision by the campaigns to be so negative in the closing days and not proceed, I'm thinking of the Harris campaign chiefly here, not proceed with a message that tells us what's going to happen for us, you know, what the closing message is. Were you surprised that the Harris campaign chose not to follow the what is textbook? You know, the closing message is upbeat.
I've been stunned by it. I have continued to wait for it to happen, and now it's too late to happen. If people have decided. And for them or her, whoever is making these decisions, to go negative and call her rival a fascist, and people think they're not dumb. They think, well, if you think he's a fascist and the rally is are a fascist, then you think I'm a fascist because I enjoy it or I go to it or I'm considering it. And it's and people want to be part of something bigger than themselves, but that doesn't apply to fascism. That applies to aspirational qualities. Go to a better place. And the closing arguments, now it may work. However, you know, even when her own super PAC that is supporting her, they can't have direct communication with the campaign. So they put it out and open to the New York Times saying fascism is not working. Not calling people Nazis is not working. You have to, really second guess that decision to do this.
Mr. Trump has a message that is consistent with his first term. So no need for him to be upbeat because, you know, drill, baby, drill and cut your taxes and deregulate. That's consistent with the first term. So there is one more puzzle. The Obamas. They were brilliant in 08 and 12. Brilliant at hope and change. Wonderful. Uplifting. Everybody was amazed at his conduct. Where did it go?
Well, I will quibble with one part of what you just said. They were amazing in 2008. It was a campaign of hope and aspiration and change. And he met the oratory, the moment with the oratory. However, a lot changed in 2012. You know, people tend to forget, and probably because it's very nerdy, but also very important. In 2008, Barack Obama won my state by nearly 11 percentage points. That was the campaign of hope and change. However, by 2012, he had made the decision to be the leader of the next new generation of Democrats, shedding the New Deal Democrats, a coalition that had been intact since the 1930s. And he went negative. And in Pennsylvania, he lost almost 300,000 votes. They just didn't show up. They didn't show up. They didn't show up for Romney either. They just stayed home. Why? Because of the negativity. You fast forward to his last midterm election in 2014, he and his wife continued that negativity and mocking people and talking down to them. Why they decided to bring out the 2012 version of Barack Obama as opposed to the 2008, I'm going to take you to a better place, Barack Obama, is a puzzle, other than I don't think that Obama can help himself at this point.
I'm speaking with Selena Zito of the Washington Examiner and the Wall Street Journal. hours before the 2024 election. We're speaking entirely of our home state of Pennsylvania. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.